Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Campus Book Mart is the one and only stop for the real Southern Miss fan. From hats to sweaters and even jerseys, Campus Book Mart has you covered with all the essentials for the Southern Miss football season. With sizes from toddler to large and in charge, there is no reason to shop anywhere else. Call 601-261-9690 or visit campusbookmart.net. Campus Book Mart on Hardy Street across from USM in Hattiesburg.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Let's go. Super Talk Eagle Hour on the road. We are at Pinehurst Park in downtown Laurel. We're here to promote the upcoming Loblolly Festival, which, of course, is taking place this Saturday in the beautiful city of Laurel. Big, big event. Biggest event of the year in Laurel. Ben Wimpickler with us here momentarily. Ben, the Loblolly Festival, I heard you on your show this morning. It is the single biggest event in
Laurel. Oh, yeah, there's no doubt. I would say, aside from the fair, which is a week-long event, this is by far the biggest event. There'll be 25,000-plus people here,
Big deal. So we're here to celebrate that. We're going to be talking a little later to Carolyn Burke, who's the director of the Laurel Main Street organization. Does such an incredible job. David Edwards is the general manager of Cannon Motors of Laurel. They are the presenting sponsor of Loblolly.
Yeah, it's the Cannon Motors Loblolly Festival. As a member of the Laurel Main Street, one of their committees, you know, we're really excited to get Cannon Motors in this year. Okay. And they've just been a fantastic partner.
Also, Dima Mixon will be joining us a little later in the show. He's got a practice update from Southern Miss Football. But first, we want to start out, and very happy to have Newton Mueller here with us, who is the head basketball coach at Jones College and a basketball star for the great MK Turk, 1989 through 1993, a member of two NCAA tournament teams. Was it the Metro Conference then, Coach?
It was. That's correct.
Metro Conference champion. Boy, you had quite a run at Southern Miss with the great MK Turk.
Yeah, no doubt about it. When you're a young guy and you're looking for your college choice, you kind of put your hands in that college coach and believe in what they're promoting. And I can tell you right off the bat, MK Turk and Robert McGinnis and Ralph Moore just did an outstanding job creating the culture that we needed to be successful. And, I couldn't ask for anything else. Championship teams, all of us guys, you know, we still try to talk every once in a while. And, Southern Miss is my alma mater, and I try to promote them all I can.
You mentioned Coach McGinnis, and I knew both of those coaches very well. I don't think he sometimes gets enough credit for the role he played in the great MK Turk years. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would say he was his right-hand man. But Coach McGinnis did a fantastic job every day in practice, keeping us engaged, making sure that we were ready to go. But one of the most important things, you know, he was his lead recruiter. So he took what MK Turk was wanting to establish on the basketball floor, and he was the guy that went out and tried to find the correct player to put in those spots that Coach Turk wanted. And so I think he's well reserved. Obviously, he went to Jones. He was the coach at Jones for a little while. And, I just mentioned a second ago, he's fixing to be inducted into the M Club Hall of Fame there. And what a great honor for him.
I was going to ask you this. I thought about this last night. Currently on the basketball team and a lot of basketball teams, we see a lot of foreign players, you know, from different parts of the world. Was that the case in your era of basketball, or was that unusual to see back then?
Yeah, so I think it was a little bit unusual back then. It was, far in between, maybe one or two guys you would see on different rosters. But I think now, you know, the game of basketball is worldwide now.
Right.
And there's really, really good players that are across the sea, and obviously they want to come over and be a part of, you know, what we have to offer here in the United States. And I think a lot of teams are getting better by getting foreigner guys on their roster. So it's now it's prevalent. Back then, I can tell you, we used to play an exhibition game against a foreign team when we were at Southern Miss, but that's about as far as at stake as that was back then.
A follow-up to that, Coach Mueller, I've talked to some foreign players, and generally their thought process is, for us as foreign players, we're looking for an opportunity. Many of the American players are looking for money because of the NIL deal. I thought that was really poignant and probably makes a lot of sense.
That makes 100% correct in my standpoint. It is. NIL right now is just so big in the game of college basketball. I mean, at all different levels. But when you talk about a young man who's looking for an opportunity, opportunity to me sometimes outweighs an NIL deal. Obviously, in a Division I program, it gives you more guys on your roster. It also gives you guys that are hungry. They're here to say, hey, I want to make an impact. I want to be able to take my opportunity and show what I can do with the game of basketball. And what it does is it helps that program. And you can look at Southern Miss in the last two or three years. They've obviously had guys that have come from overseas that have really been impact players for their program. And so I think Coach Ladner and that group have done a fantastic job by finding the right guys that want the opportunity, but also those guys have exceeded with the opportunity, and now a couple of those guys are now making money on their own, and I think that's what it's all about for those guys coming in.
When I talk to some young Southern Miss fans, these flat bellies, about the Metro Conference back in the day, I mean, Bimbo Coles, Steph Curry's dad, you know, Del Curry, Purvis Ellison, Elliot Perry. I mean, the list of Del Curry, I mentioned Del Curry.
Anthony Hardaway.
Wally Lancaster. You know, all these great
teams. It was a great basketball.
It was a great league. And can you compare the Metro then of, like, maybe the Sun Belt today?
Yeah, it's going to be really difficult.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest with you. The SEC obviously has great basketball. But in our era of time, the Metro Conference was one of the most premier conferences in the country. Like, every single night that you played, you were playing in front of packed houses. You were playing in front of star players. You were playing in front of fan bases that's what they lived and breathed by. And so to take a team out of Hattiesburg, Mississippi, the University of Southern Miss, and to be able to go and compete with those teams, not only compete, we were winning those games. We were the top team in the conference for most of the year for 2 years in a row. I think we got ranked ninth in the country at one point. It says a lot about the city of Hattiesburg, the leadership that was there, that was in place, and obviously the coaches that we had, and then more importantly, the players that the coaches went and signed. But I will tell you, I mean, I look at the Sun Belt today, I think it's a really good conference, but it's hard to compare that to every night when you're going to play those teams, the South Carolinas and the Louisvilles
Florida
and the Memphis
State.
And the Florida
State. You're being very diplomatic and very kind. It's not close to what the conference you played in was. I had the privilege of covering that, and I know you did too, as a sports reporter, and my gosh, there was no easy out.
No.
What was the easy out?
And I remember one time talking to some Louisville people, and I said, when are you guys ever going to graduate Purvis Ellison?
Yeah.
And just like that, they said, well, as soon as you get rid of Clarence Weatherspoon, we'll get rid of
Yeah, man, and those were great matchups. Golly, those were unbelievable matchups.
And
when
some
we played.
Great coaches in that league as well, weren't they?
Oh, yes. I mean, you could sit there and just go down the line from coach to coach. I mean, you had Denny Crum, you had Dana Kirk, you had Larry Finch.
Larry Finch came in at Memphis
at one time.
The Cincinnati coach Bob Huggins
was in the league at that time, and they really, really solid coaches and players. And like I said, I wouldn't trade it for anything. Being able to travel to those different cities and playing in those environments, it really helped who I am today, to be honest with you.
You told us before we went on the air you played one night before 33,000 people. Is that right?
We did. We got invited to the Carrier Classic, which was at Syracuse, New York, in the Carrier Dome. And so there were four teams that were invited, and we matched up the opening round against Syracuse and Jim Boeheim, and it was sold out to capacity. 33,000 were in attendance. And
you had a good night.
I had a great night. Probably that was my best game, obviously, in my college career. I had 19 points in the basketball game, and we were fortunate enough to get to go to those type places. And I remember my parents being there, and it was just like, I've never seen this many people, because if you've never been there, obviously the Carrier Dome is in the football stadium, and there's a curtain that comes down, and then the basketball is on the opposite side of it, and you still had that many people that were at the game, and it was a great experience.
Coach Turk, of course, long past now, but what traits of MK Turk are currently living in Newton Mueller?
Yeah, man, excellent question. People all the time ask me that. Obviously, now being a college basketball coach, you know, the one trait that he instilled, obviously, in me is the definition of hard work. And when you can hear that by a lot of coaches, but what I mean by hard work is he was a guy that was attention to detail. He was organized. Not only was his practices organized, but the way he went about his business of being the basketball coach at Southern Miss. And so I take the organizational skills, obviously, from him, because if you're not organized at this level, it's going to be very difficult for you to be successful. The hard work trait, and what I mean hard work is, not only is he there for his practices, but he was there for his players. So I guess the next trait would be the word caring, because his door was an open policy door. And he would let us come in. Obviously, we could vent to him. And he was that coach that would put his arm around you. Now, he was stern. He was tough. But behind the scenes, obviously, he was a caring basketball coach. So I think those three things have really instilled in me. And then, obviously, his style of play. I still do the same thing at Jones College. What I learned from Coach Turk way back in the day, he was on top of things before other people were. When I'm talking about full court, running and jumping, pressing, playing that style, the dunk corner, everybody getting excited. I go recruit the same type players because of a man like MK Turk.
Coach, can we get you back again? We could talk to you for an hour. Would you be willing to come back?
Man, I'd love to come back every week. I love Southern Miss, and obviously I love Jones College. I mean, we got a great basketball product there, and I definitely want to make sure that I do that as well.
Newt Miller, head basketball coach at Jones College. Continue the Super Talk Eagle Hour from downtown Laurel Pinehurst Park right after this break.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, welcome back. Super Talk Eagle Hour is back on the road. We're back on the road Friday as well. But today we're really happy to be at Pinehurst Park in downtown Laurel. We're here to kick off unofficially the Loblolly Festival, and Ben tells me that people get married up under here, so I don't know, man. It's been all kinds of great things.
Well, and I'm guessing the name Pinehurst Park came because the old Pinehurst Hotel.
Correct.
Was right? Yeah, it was right here on this location.
Caroline Burke is with us. She's the director of Laurel Main Street. She's no stranger to Super Talk Mississippi. David Edwards is the general manager of Cannon Motors of Laurel, which is the presenting sponsor of this year's Loblolly Festival. All right, Caroline, you said not to identify you as the lady that knows everything about downtown Laurel. But when do you start working on this festival? You've got thousands of people coming here Saturday.
We actually start in June. So applications for vendor spots go live July 1st every year. So you can mark that on your calendar if you're ever interested in being a vendor. But we get the applications ready in June, get everything launched July 1st. And we have been taking vendor applications since that day.
How many do you think you'll have?
We have 302 spots in downtown. A couple of people bought two, so we have somewhere between 250, 275 vendors.
Are you concerned about the 90% chance of rain?
I have not even looked, and thank you for letting me know that.
I'm kidding.
No, it's actually supposed to be very nice.
It's going to be beautiful.
Oh, yeah. My team has kept me updated.
You know, the biggest complaint that anybody usually has about any big event like this is parking, particularly as you get older. You know, you don't want to have to park parks. How do you handle that? Because there's only so many spaces available.
Right. So the day of, we have no parking in downtown Laurel, like inside the festival limits. But we have a ton of outlying parking lots. I mean, on the very end of North Fifth Avenue, there's a few our local churches that kind of surround downtown. So it's not, in the grand scheme of things, it's not that far a walk, maybe a block or two. But, you know, there's lots, outlying lots that will be open and available for parking.
Plenty of food to eat. And I heard you this morning with Ben saying this will be the biggest year ever for that.
Yes, we have more food vendors than we've ever had. Food, drinks of all kinds, everything from, you know, the staple Norton's corn dogs to TK's chicken on a stick to we even have a Hawaiian food truck coming.
I really like chicken on a stick.
Well, in Mississippi, we're not number one in many things, but we are number one in morbid obesity. So let's keep it up, folks.
Chicken on a stick's a good way to get there.
But, I mean, you got to walk downtown so you get your exercise,
too. Walk it off.
That's exactly right.
A true marketing person,
yes.
You know.
David Edwards, as we said, is the general manager of Cannon Motors of Laurel, relatively new business in Laurel, and I know you're very grateful to them for stepping up like this.
We are. They have been a great partner in all of this.
Well, Mr. Edwards, it's a pleasure to meet you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
And Cannon Motors has been doing a lot since you came here. What made you interested in being such a big partner in this festival?
The Cannon family has been in business with Cannon Motors of Mississippi for over 55 years, and they come to small towns. Try to do the right thing, try to treat people the right way, and the only way you can do that is meet the people.
Right.
And it's an opportunity for us to meet a lot of people, so that's why we're interested.
How's your experience been in this unique city? This is really a unique place.
I've lived in China. I've lived all over. And it's the most relaxing, most fun town I've ever lived in.
And it's the first time I've ever heard somebody say China instead of China.
Caroline, I'm going to say this to you. I'm going to embarrass you a little bit, but I don't think there's a town in the city of Laurel that holds a close second to what you and your associates have done with downtown. It truly is incredible.
Well, thank you. I mean, it is a long time coming. I have a friend that his favorite saying is, you know, it takes 10 years to make an overnight success. And that is truly what happened in Laurel. Like, it seems like we've had this great boom here in the last couple of years, but the city has been working on it for decades, trying to lay the groundwork that has made all of this growth possible.
Right. Here, I don't need to tell you this, but here's an example. My wife and a very close friend of hers met two ladies on the Gulf Coast a couple of weeks ago that the friend went to high school with in Greenwood. One lived in Georgia, one lived in Tennessee, and they came down here to have kind of this weekend reunion. On their way, they spent two nights in Laurel.
I love
because
it.
They wanted to see what they had heard so much about, not only through the HGTV show, but just in general what they heard about. And every time I come to the radio station, I am amazed. The last time I came here before this, I took pictures of two people in front of one of the murals, and they were from Iowa. And they had gotten here the night before to spend 3 days here.
It's
Are
amazing.
Are you used to it yet?
I mean, yes and no. We've seen so much tourism. I mean, I own a store down here as well, and looking at our guest book, we have people from California, France, New Zealand. That was our farthest.
It's insane, yeah.
And I was at a press conference a couple of weeks ago when the hospital made their announcement about their residency program, and the governor was speaking, and he told a story that he had invited, I think, the governor of Oklahoma to throw out the first pitch at a Mississippi Braves game. And he was talking to him at the game and said, well, where'd y'all stay last night? Expecting him to say somewhere in, you know, that area. He said, oh, we drove up from Laurel this morning. We've been staying in Laurel. We came there and spent a couple of days. And I thought, you know, how great that is.
Yeah.
Like,
Mr. Edwards, when you moved here to manage this dealership, were you a little surprised at what you saw?
Absolutely. I didn't know where Laurel was.
Yeah.
It's been a pleasant surprise. But a lot of good people. Everybody's nice, friendly. It's just welcoming city, and we're so happy to be a part of it.
Well, I'm prejudiced because my oldest child was born here, and I started my TV career here in another lifetime, and some of the greatest years of our life were living in Laurel. And to this day, I find the people of Laurel very unique, the most close-knit people that I've ever been around, and great, great pride in their city and their county, and I'm sure you've picked up on that.
100%, yes, sir.
Yeah, so great move for Cannon Motors, right?
Yes, sir, it's been great.
And I hear Ben Winpigler even bought a car.
He did.
So that proves you can get anybody financed. Is that right?
He was no problem.
But really, Dave, in this advertising climate, there's obviously everybody wants to get a piece of Cannon Motors, right? Everybody wants Cannon Motors to be part. This is a big commitment that you guys have taken on. Was there anything in particular that made you guys say, we are pulling the trigger on this, and we're not just going to be involved, we're going to be the main sponsor, the presenting sponsor?
It was Caroline's presentation. She came by and she had it all laid out. She said, 20-some-odd thousand people over the last few years, this is the zip codes you're in, and this is the amount of people you'll be able to see. I said, where do we sign?
He gives me a lot of credit, but
true statement.
We just talked about the event. This event is the biggest event in Jones County past, or other than the fair. And, you know, the fair is
It's coming up
later this month.
Yeah.
October's busy.
Right.
But this is the largest single day event in Laurel.
Now, Caroline, how many people are involved helping you with this thing Saturday?
I am the only full-time employee of Laurel Main Street. We have a part-time office manager, but she is my right arm and gives a lot more time than she gets paid.
But you got to have a lot of volunteers.
Yes, we have every section of the festival has two, what we call block captains. So two volunteers that are specifically in charge of like helping vendors find their spots and getting them electricity. So we have people doing that all day. We have people selling beer all day because Laurel Main Street offers the beer truck. So Southern Beverage brings us truck every year.
It did come to my attention.
It's on the corner of West Oak and North Magnolia, so
noted.
You can identify. You know some folks, maybe. No. But we have, you know, a great crew of volunteers that show up every year because they love this festival, they love this town, and they love Laurel Main Street.
Now, besides the vendors, what will people see when they come this weekend?
So we have actually two stages this year for music. One on the, I guess that's the west end of Central Avenue. That will be going from 9 to 3, and then we have another stage at the top of North Magnolia, so the 400 block of North Magnolia, kind of up by the post office, that will have music going from, I believe, 10 to 4. So two musical stages. You know, our food run is down West Oak. We have two different kinds of bouncy castle kids activities. The younger kids will be on the top of North 5th, and the older kids will be over on North Magnolia. And then I'll let Mr. David talk about their setup because they will be at the end of West Oak with all of their wares to show off.
Tell us about it, Mr. Edwards.
We'll be showing some of the new 25 GM models. We'll have some trucks and some little SUVs, and we'll be giving away some handouts. Y'all come by and see us. We'll have some koozies and some water and some keychains and show some of our product down there.
David, do you think the EV thing is going to continue? I'm being serious. Do you think that electric vehicles are here to stay, or is this passing fancy?
Not in rural America.
Okay.
It will in California and the larger cities and metropolitan areas, but it won't in rural
America. It's not practical in rural America, is it?
Well, and trucks, they don't make – is there even such a thing as an EV truck?
Yes, sir. It's a lightning truck. It'll go 250 miles without a charge. It'll run 120 miles an hour, 0 to 60 in 4.5 seconds. It's fast.
They are fast because you have instant power, correct?
Instant power, that's correct.
But what you just said, 250 miles, what if you're making a 1,000-mile trip?
You better know where to charge.
Get you a gas-powered GMC. Isn't that what you're saying?
Exactly.
And I got to tell you, Caroline, Bob Getty had a band in college.
Well, I didn't know that. You should have given us a heads up.
It was called Going Nowhere.
Yeah, that's where it went.
Y'all told that one before.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for all you do with us. We really appreciate
you.
It. Pleasure to meet you, sir.
Thank you. Pleasure to meet you.
All right, when we come back, Dima Mixon's got a practice football report. We'll be right back.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, always a pleasure to have Caroline Burks on the Super Talk Eagle Hour, the director of Laurel Main Street. David Edwards, first time to meet him, general manager of Cannon Motors of Laurel. Also want to thank Newton Mueller, head basketball coach at Jones and former Golden Eagle. That was a great conversation. Really look forward to that. Still to come, Justin Lewis is with Sunbelt Federal Credit Union, who'll be joining us later. But right now, we found Dima. Dima's back in the Hattiesburg studio. Dima was at football practice this morning. All right, Dima, I got a lot of questions.
Uh-oh.
And the first question is, who was playing quarterback and how healthy did he look?
Yeah, actually, all three of them were out there playing, which is something that we haven't seen since, you know, obviously both of them got hurt. Ethan Crawford was back on the practice field, and he did have his pads on, and he did go through some reps. I highly doubt he'll start, obviously, but I don't know if he's going to get any playing time. John White was out there. He was taking reps, and then Rodemaker was obviously taking the first reps. And so if I had to guess, I would say Rodemaker probably is going to start. And, you know, if he has a bad performance like he did against Jacksonville State, they may pull him and put John White in. And then I think you might see Ethan in some situational stuff, kind of like you've seen all season, but I don't think he's ready yet to start at quarterback.
Did Rodemaker look healthy? I know a high ankle sprain can be a tough thing to overcome.
Yeah, last Tuesday I would say no. Today I think he looked a lot better than last Tuesday for sure. Last Tuesday, not meaning yesterday, but the Tuesday before. And, you know, he looks good. I think pretty much the same that he's looked all practice. It wasn't, like, exceptionally better, I guess is how I would say. But he looked like Tate Rodemaker, what he's been doing since fall camp started. And really the biggest thing with him is just trying not to turn the ball over, and that's something that Will Hall stressed in the postgame, in the post-practice interviews, saying that, you know, their only reason they're 1-3 right now is because of the run game and the turnovers, because right now they rank, you know, 130 out of 133 FBS teams in turnovers. They've turned the ball over 13 times, 6 fumbles, 7 interceptions. You just cannot do that when you're trying to win football games. And then also another area of concern, and I wanted to play a clip from Clay Bignell if we have time in a few minutes.
Sure, go ahead.
Southern Miss ranks number 126 out of 133 FBS teams in rushing yards per game. Would any of you like to guess how many rushing yards Southern Miss has given up per game?
I'm afraid to ask, Damo. Go ahead.
223 yards per game rushing yardage.
Wow.
Rushing yards allowed. 223. That is crazy.
That's the average.
That's average. That means any team that's played them, they average 223 yards per game rushing. I mean, that's extraordinary numbers. And something that I wrote on Rivals.com, which if you haven't already, subscribe there. Just a little plug there. But something I wrote was this defensive front, we talked about all season, coming into the season, that this defensive front might be the best in the Sun Belt because of how veteran they are. Right, this is not some freshman defensive front that's never seen football. We've seen them be able to stop the run. We've seen them produce, and they haven't produced yet all season. So we actually asked defensive coordinator Clay Bignell that exact question. Like, we've watched these guys, these same guys, play for 3 years. Why haven't they performed to the expectation that they were supposed to perform? And he gave an answer that I think summed up the entire Southern Miss season. Here's his answer.
Correct.
I mean, what's been the message to those guys?
It's been to get back to that, to who we are. Like, we've seen them strike and get off blocks, and, you know, it felt like we were sticking on every single block. Like, we could not win a one-on-one in that game. You know, it was disappointing, and it was so we're just trying to get back to us, make sure that we have the stuff that we do well, like using our hands and getting off blocks and making plays, like not just being going down the middle of someone and not being visible, or running around the block, creating extra gaps. You know, those are the spaces we got to take out.
Yeah, and in my opinion, what he says there, you know, he says we've seen them do this before. We've got to get back to that and who we are. He says, quote, we have to try to get back to us, Southern Miss football. And guys, I think that's the definition. That's the quote of the year that coming into fall camp, we talked about. You know, you said, Mr. Bob, 7-8 wins. Kelly said 7-6-7. I said 6. All of these things that we've seen them been able to do, they just aren't doing it. They have to get back to who they are and who they've seen in who we saw in fall camp and what they can be. And hopefully this week against Louisiana, they can shore that up. But when you turn the ball over 13 times in 4 games and you give up 223 yards per game rushing, not to mention on the other sides of the statistics, it's going to be hard to do, especially against a really good Raging Cajun team coming in here.
Kelly, I know Southern Miss has beaten Louisiana 11 straight times. I don't think that means one thing at 6 o'clock Saturday night.
But you can bet that Louisiana knows it.
Well, I mean, I think it's an advantage for Louisiana. Yeah,
they're only human, right? And they can say we don't pay attention to that, but you know that deep down in the recesses of their minds that they do. Dima, one of the things that the team also stressed at the beginning of the fall was body language. You'd hear it all the time. Body language, pick it up. You know, with this disappointing start that Southern Miss is off to,
wow.
what would be your take and read on the morale, the overall morale of this team as you were at practice this morning?
You know, I don't know. It's so hard to gauge it because, you know, it's so different on a practice field versus a game field. But I'd say on the practice field, they seem energized. I mean, it's the same that they've been doing. I don't think it's any more energized, I guess is my argument, than it would have been 2 or 3 weeks ago. But I don't think it's any less energized either. I mean, it's the same team. It's the same practicing team that's just trying to, like I said, get back to who they are and what we know. We know they can be better than what they've displayed on the field. Now, does that mean necessarily that they would have won the past three games they've lost? I don't know. But we know they could have competed better against Jacksonville State. We know they could have competed better against Kentucky and South Florida. We know they could have played better against Southeastern Louisiana. And for some reason, there's something in this team that's not allowing them to get to that next level. I don't know if, like you're saying, it's team morale, mentality, whether it's coaching, whether it's just the other teams are just better than them. And that's the plain and simple truth. I don't know. And that's something that I think Will Hall and that staff is trying to figure out, because there's really no excuse that they have the worst turnovers in probably the entire country out of any major program. And then, obviously, you just can't give up 223 yards rushing per game. And that's through four games. I mean, that's what's incredible. You know, you normally have like a bad rushing standout, and then it kind of heightens your numbers for a couple weeks. But through four games to still be surrendering over 200 yards rushing, I mean, that's abysmal, guys.
Well, I had big eyes this morning when I looked at the depth chart when it dropped, and my big eyes were the fact that, as Bob mentioned, the three quarterbacks are listed, and you said that they are playing in practice. Was there anything that jumped out to you with that depth chart that was being released prior to the Cajun game this Saturday?
Yeah, obviously the quarterback situation, you know, you have an or on every single quarterback. You have Tate Rodemaker or Ethan Crawford or John White. Now, out of what I've seen, I think Tate Rodemaker is going to get that starting job on Saturday. Again, like I said in the beginning of the segment, I just don't know if that's going to pertain to the whole game. And I don't think Ethan Crawford is ready yet to take the snaps necessary if it was a close game. So I think John White would be your number two. Ethan Crawford would be kind of a worst-case scenario. But also we've seen we've seen the fourth string as well come in quarterback, but I think that now that John White looks to be good, they're not going to need him, heaven forbid. On the defensive side of the ball, though, everything looks the same. I will say, though, Jay Jones, who's listed as the starting safety, he didn't practice that much today, and Clay Bignell said he's day-to-day, so I would consider him to be questionable for Saturday's game. I don't necessarily know if he'll be able to go, especially not start as it's listed. And then at nose guard, Bredarius Lewis or D'Amico Rowland. D'Amico Rowland has started there, you know, every single game. And then at might linebacker, Jalen Sims or Desmond Baker. Everybody's really high on Desmond Baker. He's looked really good, and he could potentially start on Saturday.
Offensive line, there have been some juggling, different guys starting in different times. How is the line looking stability-wise going into Saturday?
Yeah, same offensive line that's listed as a starting job. Dante Lucas did not practice yesterday. He's that right guard from South Alabama. He did not practice yesterday. He was sick. They labeled as an illness. He was back out there today, but limited. And it looked to me like Luke Rogers was backing him up and starting with the ones. I do expect Dante Lucas to start at right guard on Saturday, though.
Guys, is it fair to say maybe the biggest surprise so far has been the lack of good play from the defensive seven, front seven, that we thought was going to be so good? Is that fair, Dima?
Yeah, no, I would. That's what I led off with, that because it's just so shocking when you think about it that teams like a Jacksonville State can just rack up the rushing yards. I mean, this was a front seven who we thought was the reason they could beat Kentucky. That was what we were saying coming into week one. We said that. We said we don't know if they will beat Kentucky, obviously, but the reason they could beat Kentucky is they have a chance. They have a chance to control the line of scrimmage from a defensive front. And look what's happened over the past couple of weeks. I mean, guys, when you look at these numbers, I mean, it's just stunning. I mean, that's the only word I can come up with. Jacksonville State with 273 rushing yards, 273. You know, South Florida, they had two guys go over 100 yards. They almost had their quarterback over 100 yards. They rushed for 369 yards against Southern Miss, 369. Southeastern Louisiana, you know, was probably the only outlier. But even them, they still rushed for over 100 yards, even with that inept offense. And then Kentucky on that weird game, they still rushed for over 150 yards. So they have to fix that. If they could fix that, you know, maybe they could get that secondary going. But if they don't fix the rushing game and the turnover game, they don't really have a shot to win any more games this year, I would argue.
Well, that's a way to take care of your quarterback, Bob Geddy, is just don't have him throw it. Just let him hand it off and let the running backs do their thing and the offensive line open holes for him. It's worked so far.
All right, Dima, good job, man, reporting from practice. We appreciate that.
Sir.
All right, Dima will be back with us Friday. We're going to wrap up our show today from Pinehurst Park in downtown Laurel, sponsored by Sunbelt Federal Credit Union. Warren and Warren Asphalt, they don't do highway work. They're not going to. South Central Regional Medical Center and Hellfighters USA. Super Talk Eagle Hour rolls along.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Hey, welcome back. Thank Dima Mixon for that great report from practice. That's about everything you need to know as the football team gets ready to play what I think is going to be a really big game Saturday night. The Raging Cajuns are, as Reggie Collier told me one time, I said, who are the toughest team you ever played against? He said, anybody from Louisiana. And he goes, I don't know what's wrong with them boys. I think it's all that hot food they eat.
No, I think it's because they hit so hard, their heads get rattled a little bit.
Hey, they're nasty, and you know they're going to be.
I'll just say I did see rumors that Danny Lynch would be taking snaps at quarterback on Saturday night. So,
well, hell, that's a done deal now.
It's going to be 12 in a row.
Now all of a sudden my wife and daughter will be interested in coming to the game.
Yeah, man bod Lynch.
As will every woman that sits with us in the baseball suite. They'll all be there if Danny Lynch is going to be quarterback. Justin Lewis is with Sunbelt Federal Credit Union. They're one of the five businesses sponsoring our coverage of the Loblolly Festival. And first of all, Mr. Lewis, thank you very much, and thanks for coming out here and sharing a minute with us.
Thank you for having us. Happy to be here.
Before I talk to you about Laurel and the Loblolly Festival, Kelly brought up such an interesting question to you that I don't think most people understand. Sunbelt Federal Credit Union is different from Trustmark National Bank, just to use an example. How?
Credit unions are member-owned. They're not-for-profit institutions. So our profits can go back into cheaper rates for loans for members, back in dividends and in terms of CDs and savings accounts that they have with us. So basically, we can take a lot of the profit that the credit union turns and reinvest it in our members.
And see, I always thought that there had to be, and I just used Kiesler in the example that Bob was talking about, that you'd have to be a member of the military or the Air Force or the Navy to be in the Kiesler Federal Credit Union, but that's, you don't necessarily, what's the connection like how can somebody be a member at Sunbelt Federal Credit Union?
There's a lot more that goes into it than I can probably tell you in the set time that we have, but census tracts, where you live, work, worship, volunteer, you can become a member based on that, based on where you work. We have employer groups that we sign that are member employer groups, and all of their employees can become members.
Because the business is there,
right,
in that particular
town. And you have specials on CDs and stuff that maybe you don't get if you're not in the credit union. Yours is
right. Right. Yeah, we have some great rates going on right now on our CDs. We've got a 10-month special at 5.17 and an 18-month special at 5.27. As far as I know, based on the research we've done, that should be right at the top of the market, if not the very top.
Yeah. All right, you're from Laurel.
Yes, sir.
Born and raised.
Yes, sir.
South Jones?
No.
Northeast Jones. There you go. Tigers.
Yes, sir.
Northeast Jones. So Luke Johnson is just completely wrong when he says West Jones is the superior program here.
I think you'd have to look back at the records. I don't know what they are, but I know when I was there, we did pretty well on the football field. We were 33-3 for my entire time in high school.
Take that, Luke Johnson.
Yeah, you know everything out West Jones County is only so-so anyway, right? So, we don't want to get things started here, Bob. You know,
so what's it like to grow up in Laurel and then see this really incredible transformation of downtown Laurel?
It's been amazing to witness it. I don't live in Laurel anymore. I live in Oak Grove, but my parents live here.
But
my
you're from here.
We're from here. We're here all the time. It's been amazing to see the transformation and that downtown's had, and the shot in the arm from hometown, the television show, and everything that's gone on down here. It's really amazing to see what an impact that's had.
So the growth here, and I think the population is very strong. People are moving to Laurel. Got to be good for Sunbelt Federal Credit Union.
It
can't hurt.
It doesn't hurt at all. And we really enjoy participating in events like this. It gives us a chance to meet our members, maybe that don't come into the bank all the time. There's so much technology out there these days that people don't have to go into the bank all the time.
They don't anymore, do they?
We have to embrace that. So we've got to serve all of our members. We want everybody that wants to be a member to be a member. And some people prefer to do their banking over their smartphone or on a computer, or there's still a lot of people that like to come in and talk to you face to face. So we want to embrace every one of our members and however they prefer to do their banking.
So if a guy wants to do business with your bank, your credit union, they can go to the credit union and someone will sit down and have a private conversation with them?
Absolutely. They can walk in and sit down in an office and right across the desk from somebody and have a conversation about what they want to accomplish. In addition to that, we've got a website that they can log into. They can apply for a loan, apply for membership. We've even got an app that they can basically FaceTime us, and if they don't want to come in but they still want to see you face to face, they can pop up on a screen and have a conversation.
See, Kelly, I think this interweb thing is here to stay.
You think so?
I think
it's just a fad, this internet thing. You know, and I can say that Sunbelt Federal Credit Union has no loan officers named Knuckles or Rocco.
No, they don't.
That's right.
You're actually. Hey, Mr. Lewis, thank you. And thank you, everybody,
yes,
at the credit union.
Absolutely.
For
thank
sponsoring
you for
our broadcast today. Also, want to thank David Edwards, General Manager of Cannon Motors of Laurel, Caroline Burke, Director of Laurel Main Street, and Newton Mueller, the head basketball coach at Jones. We enjoyed that a lot. Go get him back. All right, come to Loblolly this weekend. The weather's going to be perfect, and it's the biggest festival you're going to come to in a long time. So it's going to be great. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow in the studio at 1 o'clock. Southern Miss.
To the top.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.